Well, good evening. We're so glad that you are here joining us tonight. And as we gather together to reflect upon, to remember, and to celebrate the reason that we're here, to look back to the hill of Calvary, where our Savior bled and died so many years ago. So as we are here tonight, gather to remember this momentous occasion in our faith, let's stand together as we sing this opening hymn. Singing, you may be seated.
Well, we want to begin our time together in our remembrance of that Friday when Jesus was crucified and buried. And we want to begin with observing communion together, because that was the first event that took place on that late that Thursday evening, right before sundown, when the next day would begin. They had the Passover feast together. So we're going to begin our service in remembrance of that Last Supper. Let's pray together. Then I'm going to invite you, as we have been doing for some time now, to come forward to receive the elements for the communion, and our deacons will be up here on each side. We ask everyone on this side, if you will, come down by the wall and receive, and go back down the middle. Everyone here down by the wall, and then return down through the middle. So as our deacons are making their way up front, let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you that we have gathered here tonight to remember such a life-changing event, when the God of heaven sacrificed his son on an old rugged cross for our sin, knowing, Lord, that It was your love for us that held you to that cross. And even as you took the Last Supper, the communion, the Passover with the disciples, Lord, you told them exactly what was going to happen, and you even explained to them why. So, Lord, tonight as we celebrate the Lord's table, remind us once again why these things were necessary. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. on the night that Jesus was to be betrayed, he desired to eat the Passover with his disciples. It was a meal that they would have together every year. The purpose of that meal was to remember how God delivered them out of bondage when they were in Egypt all those many years before. And when that Passover feast was held, the centerpiece of that entire meal was the lamb. It was a spotless lamb, a perfect lamb that had to be chosen. And that lamb was consumed in that meal. Everything about it was consumed to show that that sacrifice of that lamb was total and complete. Jesus said on that night when he was to be betrayed, he held up the bread that for all these years had represented the flesh of that lamb that was slain whenever the Israelites were freed from Egypt. But he said something different this time. He said, "This is my body. This is my body that's going to be broken for you." He was saying to them then, as he says to us now, "I am that perfect lamb. I am the perfect lamb that can set people free from their bondage to sin." And as he broke the bread, he blessed it and he gave it to them. So now we do the same. We take the bread and we eat. For years and years and years, the cup held the wine that represented the blood of that lamb. When I say it was consumed, every part was consumed of that lamb. And that blood was special because it was the blood of that lamb that was then spread across the door jamb of the house, the exterior. So that night, whenever the death angel would pass through, he would see the blood and he would know that inside of that house is someone who is covered by that blood, and there would no one in that home die that night. But any home not found covered by that blood, the firstborn in that home died that night. You say, well, that sounds cruel, doesn't it? Doesn't it sound like something that would come out of a movie rather than real life? No, it's real. Because what God was teaching them then and what Jesus was teaching us now is that only the blood can wash away our sins. Only the blood can save us from eternal death. And so that night as Jesus poured that cup where for so many years it represented the blood of that lamb, he said something different this time. He said, "This is my blood, which is the new covenant, which is shed for you." Again, letting them know that I'm that perfect lamb and only my blood can cover your sin. So take and drink.
Well, tonight we are here to celebrate and to reflect and to remember. And so tonight, as we are gathered here together, we are going to take a step back in time to that moment in history where it seemed as if time stood still and the sun had lost its light. We ask, as our choir will be singing, that in between these songs you refrain from your applause, as it is a very somber time of reflection. So please join us as we turn our eyes back in time to Calvary. Thank you.
I heard all too well what Jesus told that man, that thief that he was hanging next to. And you know what? It was drastically different than what he told me. You see, the day that I encountered Jesus, I dropped to my knees right in front of him. He had my respect from the start. You see, I wasn't looking for a handout, okay? I explained to him that I had done the hard work. I just needed to know, was there something that I was missing? Was there some good thing that I needed to do in order to inherit eternal life? And you know, sell all that you own. That's what Jesus told me. Sell it all, and you'll have treasure in heaven. Yeah, right. You see, I was always taught that salvation is a reward for a life that is filled with good works. It is not a handout that you give to people that can't muster up enough character to earn it themselves. My wealth is a clear indication of the favor that rests upon me from God. I had asked about eternal life, and this disgusting shell of a man, he's the one that gets it? Jesus told him the day he died, he would be in paradise. This man couldn't bleed a drop of goodness that he hadn't borrowed. No, that he hadn't stolen from the righteous man that he's hanging next to. He was a thief, and I'm the one that is treated like I've been robbing God all along. I offered to do what I needed to do. This man offered nothing. All he could do was ask for mercy, and that's how he got salvation. That's how he got eternal life. It was just given to him. Like it was a gift.
I've been caught outright and dragged straight into open daylight. Bystanders gawking, the village women absorbing every morsel of gossip. Common decency dictated that the shame of the moment was enough. But the law called for something greater. My life. Of course, a long audience followed behind. Don't think I didn't recognize a couple of them. Their words condemned me, but they didn't dare look me in the eye. I did everything to try to cover my shame, but I couldn't hide from the onlookers or this holy man whose feet they threw me to. I was finished. I stared at the ground when he said that whoever was sinless, they should go first. They should throw the first stone. Squeezed my eyes shut, grasping at the gravel, waiting for the end of my life to unfold. Nothing, though. Then footsteps. Except they were walking away. I looked up. Is there no one left to accuse you? He asked me. No. I don't either. He said, go and sin no more. Accusers. That's how he ended up on the cross. And as he hung there dying, he didn't say, I am finished. He said, it is finished. That's something different. That's a different thing. It means that something is accomplished. Restored. He restored my hope. My self-respect and my dignity. I didn't even know I had any left. On a day when I thought that my life was finished, the only man there holy enough to demand justice handed me mercy.
No. There you go. Failure is not something any of us like to admit. I was sitting in a doctor's office on Thursday, and because I was, it's on my chart, and that I'd been diagnosed as having depression and taking medication for it, they have a list of questions that they like to ask you at every visit. And so she began asking the questions. The nurse was doing her preemptive stuff, and she was asking me about if I had had any thoughts of suicide, if I had ever planned or bought supplies to commit suicide, things that they have to ask. And of course, all the answer is no there. But then she asked me something else, something I'd never been asked in an interview like that before. She said, "Have you ever thought of yourself as a failure?" And I paused for a second and I said, I thought all of us have thought of ourselves as a failure at some point. And she just kind of smiled and she said, "I think you know what I mean." I said, "No, ma'am, not in that sense. But have I ever felt that I was a failure?" "Yes, ma'am, I have many times." I think all of us have, right? In Matthew chapter 26, beginning in verse number 47, it tells us in that while Jesus was still speaking, behold, Judas, one of the 12, came accompanied by a large crowd with swords and clubs who came from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now he who was betraying him gave a sign previously saying, "Whomever I kiss, he's the one, arrest him." And immediately Judas went up to Jesus and said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and he kissed him. But Jesus said to him, "Friend, do what you have come for." Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and arrested him. At that time, Jesus said to the crowds, "Have you come out with swords and clubs to arrest me as you would against a man inciting a revolt? Every day I used to sit within the temple grounds teaching, and you did nothing to arrest me. But all this is taking place so that the scriptures of the prophets will be fulfilled." Then all the disciples fled. Those who had arrested Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were gathered together. But Peter was following at a distance, as far as the courtyard of the high priest. And he came inside and he sat down with the officers to see the outcome. Now Peter was sitting in that courtyard, and a slave woman came to him and said, "You too were with Jesus of Galilee." But he denied it before them all, saying, "I don't know what you're talking about." And when he had gone out of the gateway, another slave woman saw him and said to those who were there, "This man was with Jesus of Nazareth." And again, he denied it with an oath, "I do not know the man." A little later, the bystanders came up and said to Peter, "You really are one of them as well, since even the way you talk gives you away." Then he began to curse and swear, "I do not know the man." And immediately a rooster crowed. And Peter remembered the statement that Jesus had made, "Before a rooster crows, you will deny me three times." He went out and he wept bitterly. To everyone but Jesus, Friday felt like a day full of failures. On that Friday, Jesus had suffered betrayal, abandonment, and denial. And by the way, these all happened at the hands of those who had chosen to follow him. The ones who had pledged their allegiance to him. These are the ones that had the betrayal, abandonment, and denial. But I think if we look, we notice that there are three causes for their failures. The first one being with Judas, because Jesus was betrayed because of a fixation on worldly possessions. You see, earlier in that same chapter, Matthew chapter 26, in verse 14, Matthew reveals to us that Judas had approached the chief priest and he came with a question, "How much will you give me if I will betray him to you? What's he worth to you?" And the price of 30 pieces of silver was agreed upon. Now, in today's dollars, that's about $400. Not anything to sneeze at. If you're someone who is living on meager means, $400 can seem quite significant. And Matthew 26 goes on to tell us in verse 16 that, "And from then on, Judas began to look for an opportunity to betray Jesus." Now, before we come down on Judas too hard, I think we have to ask ourselves this question: how much have we betrayed Jesus for? How much have we, maybe it was an hour, an extra hour of sleep on a Sunday morning. Maybe we betrayed him for an hour, an extra hour of sleep. Maybe we betrayed him for a little overtime because, you know, a little extra spending money is always a good thing. Maybe we betrayed him by looking for just something, anything better to do on a Sunday morning other than go to church. And when we could identify that one thing, whatever it was, then we could tell everybody we were busy that day. Sorry, I couldn't make it. For Judas, it was more wealth. What is it for us? One of Friday's failures was betrayal. But then he was abandoned for fear of persecution. There in chapter 26, we began reading in verse number 55, how Jesus asked them, "Why have you come out against me like I'm some kind of warrior or rebel leader trying to start a great revolt against the government? Why have you come out against me as if I'm hostile toward you?" But then the Bible says, but hey, Jesus said this is happening because the scriptures must be fulfilled. But then that last sentence of verse 56 says, "Then all the disciples left him and fled." When the chips were down, the disciples ran to save their own skin. They weren't sticking around when there was a chance that their freedom might be at stake. You see, there were more important things at that moment. And again, before we judge these disciples too harshly, how many times have we abandoned Jesus because we were afraid that we might be mistreated? How many times have we abandoned him because we were afraid we might lose some friends if we claimed to have a relationship with Jesus? We might be called names, mocked, perhaps even ostracized from our social circle. I mean, those are heavy prices to pay, and in our world and in our culture, that is persecution. They ran because they feared persecution. They abandoned Jesus in that moment when they could have stood and proclaimed his name. They denied it instead and ran. They abandoned him for fear of persecution. So can I ask you something? In a pivotal moment when it's obvious that the time has come for you to acknowledge that you're a believer, that when the time has come for you to acknowledge that you are a follower of Christ, in that pivotal moment, do you choose to run? Friday's failures are mounting up. Judas betrayed Jesus for money. The disciples had abandoned Jesus for fear of being persecuted. But there's one more failure that we noted in the passage that we read. And that was, he was denied because of fear of perception. You see, we chronicle the movements of Peter, who, though he had run with all the others in that moment when Jesus was arrested. And let's give Peter credit. He was willing to fight. He pulled his sword and actually harmed one of the servants. But Jesus healed that servant immediately and told Peter to put his sword away. Let's give him credit where credit's due. But once Peter saw that the sword wasn't going to be the way that they would fight that night, he ran with all the others. But then he chose to follow at a distance. You see, he wanted to find out exactly what they intended to do with Jesus. But verse 58 is a very important verse. But Peter was following him at a distance. He followed at a distance. Three different times on that early Friday morning, people questioned Peter's relationship with Jesus. Three different times, three different groups or different people came to him and said, yeah, I recognize you. You're with him. You're one of them. You're with Jesus. And each time Peter denied knowing Jesus or being a follower of Jesus, you see, Peter was willing to follow Jesus that day, but only from a distance because he didn't want to be perceived as being with him. Seems Peter, like many of us today, among other believers, we're kind of proud to say we follow Jesus. We're proud to wear the name Christian. We're proud to proclaim our faith, however, outside of the church. Many of us are like Peter. We want to keep that relationship with Jesus a secret. We don't want anybody finding out that we're really serious about following Jesus because, you know, they hated him. They're going to hate us if they do. We don't want to be embarrassed. We're embarrassed to admit that we're one of his followers. You see, that Friday held its share of failures. Failures that I can say I relate to every single one of them. Failures. Today's a great day to examine our lives and answer that question. How have I, when have I betrayed, abandoned, or denied Jesus in my life? You say, well, Tommy, that makes me feel sad when I think of it. Well, think, if you will, what happened with these disciples. The Bible says that Peter went out and wept bitterly. Our failures should break us and should bring us to a place of humble repentance before the one that we have betrayed, abandoned, and denied. Before we sing this last song, I want us to take a moment to be able to pray together. And in doing so, allow the Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts and help us to answer that question. When and where have I betrayed, abandoned, denied Jesus? And Lord, am I doing it now? Maybe not in this room, maybe not in this moment, but in your life right now, maybe you're living in one of those areas of failure. Maybe you are in that betrayal or that abandonment or that denial. Let the Holy Spirit show you where that failure may be. Because only when we see the failure will we really understand what's going to happen in 3 days. Father, thank you that you love us too much to let us stay in the dark. To go unawares of when we fall short and fail. You love us too much for that. Lord, you don't bring these things to our mind because you're mad at us. You don't bring these things to our mind because you are done with us. You bring these things to mind because you want us to see and understand our brokenness and our weakness in our flesh. You want us to see and understand that we need you, that we are desperate for you, because on our own we betray, abandon, and deny. So, Lord, as you bring these things to our heart and our mind now, Lord, I pray that it causes us to turn toward the tomb, knowing that soon something amazing for our benefit is about to happen. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Together, as we find ourselves at this time of dismissal. let's sing that chorus again one more time, just our voices. Jesus paid it all, all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, He washed it white as snow. And we are dismissed.